one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the Bible, and the story of David and Goliath. Been there many times in different messages, both hearing and preaching. We're going to look at maybe a little bit different aspect of this, studying this week, asking God for the message for the hour, and as led here, share this passage, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're going to start reading in verse number 20, and then we'll go back and again talk about what all took place here. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 20, if you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures this morning, and then we'll look at this passage together. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 20 says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And God, I pray that, Lord, you just please speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, again, as your psalmist says, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, please. Instruct us. And God, help us this morning. And in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, again, most everybody knows this passage of Scripture. To go back a little bit, the Philistines and Israel were facing off. They're at the valley here of Elah. And they, one army's on one side on the mountain, the other army's on the other side, and between them is this valley. And out from amongst the Philistines comes this giant of a man by the name of Goliath. And by the way, this is a true story. Goliath steps forward, and he says to all the people there in Israel, if you look back in verse number 4 of the same chapter, it says, "There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." And we'll skip down here to verse number 8. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And he steps forward, he makes his challenge. He says, "Now both of our armies are gathered here." He said, "But let's handle this way, one on one. Send whoever you want to come out here, and they can fight me, I will fight them. And if that one man defeats me, then all of us will be your servants. But if I beat him, you all will be our servants." You can almost see him say it with a smirk on his face. Because this was no ordinary man. Goliath stood 10 feet tall. To give you an idea, if he was looking at a basketball rim, he did not have to jump. He looked down into the rim. Just think about that. He looked down into the hoop. If he put his hands up, man, you talk about a good center in basketball, right? I mean, you put him down there, all he had to do is keep his hands up. You couldn't even get the ball to the hoop, all right? I mean, he was just a giant of a man. And he said, I challenge you, send him out. Send him out. If he beats me, we'll all be your servants. No one came out. He said, I defy the armies of Israel. He would go on to defy the God of Israel. And no one would step out. Well, King Saul went around and sent a message to all of his army and said, men, whoever will go out and fight this man, which, by the way, Saul should have done that. But Saul said, whoever goes out there and fights this man, I will give him great riches. I will give him my daughter to wed. And he will live tax-free the rest of his life. It's a pretty good deal, man. Nice. Pretty sweet deal. If I'm his daughter, I'm wondering why she was thrown in the middle of that, not last, right? You would think she'd be last. That's just my thinking. She's probably like, hey, right? But he said, you know, here it is. And all the armies of Israel said, that's a good deal, but no. Did you see this guy? Not a chance. In the meanwhile, Jesse, David's father, sends David to go and check on his brothers and to take some food. So David goes down and he goes and he finds his brothers and he salutes his brother and he takes them the cheese and the food that he brought. And while he's there, Goliath comes out and makes his challenge again. And Goliath steps forward and he says, all right, I challenge you, send out a man. And if he defeats me, we will all be your servants. But if I defeat him, you will be our servants. And all the Philistines are chuckling and laughing. And all of Israel's running and hiding. David checks this out. He looks. And he's kind of taken by this and can't believe no one's really stepping out. And someone there in the armies of Israel said, David, this guy's huge. Yeah. And they said, King Saul even offered that if anyone goes out and beats this guy, that he will be given great riches. He's able to wed Saul's daughter and he'll live tax-free the rest of his life. And David said, man, why is no one going out? And then we read the scripture. He goes around to different people in the army and says, hey, do you know what King Saul offered to go out and fight this guy? And they said, yeah, he offered him no taxes and to wed the daughter and to be greatly blessed with riches. And then he asked the second question, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies our God? He goes around to the next guy and says, hey, did you hear what King Saul said? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that challenges our God? And he went around to all the different men. Now his brother hears word of it, brings him to the side and says, David, you're just a punk. You're here just to watch the battle. Go home, take care of your sheep. David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he goes around and continues asking this question. But what I want to point out is this. Go back with me again in verse number 26. David came and to the men, he stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Now, David had already heard what happened. He wasn't trying to find an answer. Everybody understand? He's trying to motivate someone to go. Everybody with me on that? All right, he already knew. He already heard the answer. He's going around saying, hey, and he asked that question, what shall be done? And then he's asked a second question, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. He goes around after talking to his brother and continues. Verse number 30, he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. How did they answer him? David asked how many questions? 2, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? And he asks the second question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? They answered him one question. Y'all see that? They said, well, the man that defeats this giant will have great riches, be part of the king's family, and live tax-free. But they did not answer the second question. When he goes around later and asks everybody the same two questions after the same manner, they answered him in the same way. They only answered one of the questions. You all see that? They only answered what would be done to this man that kills Goliath. But they refused to answer, who is this guy? They all stared at me. Do you see that? So let's answer the question. Let's answer the question no one wanted to talk about, right? Are you with me? I don't think you're with me because you're all like this. All right? Well, no one answered the question. It's pretty clear to me. They answered him, verse 27, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. But he asked him, well, who is this guy? No one answered. Down there in verse number 30, he asked the same two questions, and they only answered him in the same way. So let's talk about it. Who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You say, well, it's Goliath. Let's talk about him a little bit. Because I believe, you'll stay with me just a few minutes this morning, I believe that he represents the same battle that's going on today. You see, all of us face the world. And it's intimidating. And we're facing the same battle. I want you to understand, number one, this guy was a champion. Back in verse number 4, when he steps out, it describes in the very first description, and there went out a champion. He was a champion. He was everything, man. He was glorified. He was Mr. Popularity. He was what everyone else wanted to be. Everyone desired to be like him. He was, we'll talk about it in just a second, the biggest, the baddest. He had whatever he wanted. He was the champion. Everyone else, he represents, you know, the as we look at the world, what all appeals to the lust. Man, he is it. He's the champ. There's nobody else like him. Back in the old day when boxing was the big thing, right? Muhammad Ali was the champ, man. No one like him. I've always enjoyed just watching cocky people. That's no secret. That's why my favorite baseball player was, Barry Bonds. He wore a picture of himself on his wristband. That's just awesome, all right? I thought that was so cool, all right? Larry Bird, he would tell you, I am the greatest. That's what he said. He held no, he didn't reserve, right? Who's the best basketball player? I am. He would tell you that. I enjoyed watching that. Roger Clemens thought he knew he was the best. I've always enjoyed that about that, right? Now, you shouldn't be that way. But I love watching that, all right? Just watching that cockiness in people, I just thought it's entertaining to me. And Goliath was that way, man. He knew he was the champ. He was respected, he was renowned, he was reputable, he was rich, he had it all. And a lot of our young people look at the world and think that's what they want. A lot of adults live their life thinking, if I can achieve that, if I can have the popularity, if I can have the money, if I can have everybody respecting me, if I can be the champion, I will have it all. Nobody partied like Goliath. He was it. He was the champion. Number two, he was colossal. He was absolutely huge. The Bible describes him again in verse number 4 as Goliath, a man of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was over 10 foot tall. He was not only the champ and super popular, but he had everything. Everybody knew who he was, and there was no one bigger than Goliath. Not just in stature, but in every way. The Philistine says that is us, man. That is our man. I mean, he is in today's world LeBron James and Steph Curry, Tom Cruise, and John Cena all put together, man. I mean, he's everything. He's the biggest, baddest, the coolest guy that there is out there. I mean, this is him. He had the biggest house for many reasons. I mean, he had the biggest car for many reasons. He had the biggest bank account. He had everything going for him. I mean, he is just what everyone wanted and dreamed to be was Goliath. The world just appeals to that. It draws everybody in that. If you just had this, every commercial on television, if you just had this, you'd have it. And when you get it, then you need something else. Everything appeals to the flesh. Everything tries to draw that. This man was, he was the champion. He was colossal. He was huge. He was courageous. In verse number 8 in the chapter, he steps out and he cries out to the armies and he defied them. He said, bring it on. He was intimidating. He was willing to put up. He didn't just talk. He wanted to fight. He was in your face. He was bold. And I'll just pause here and say this. If we Christians were half as bold as he was, we'd change the world. The world is very bold. We Christians, many times, we just kind of were intimidated by the world. The world pushes. They push their agenda. They push their philosophies. They push their sin. And just like Goliath, you know what they do? When a Christian starts to speak up, they laugh. Point a finger. What are you trying to live a life? I guarantee there's people there at where Brother Scott works and his wife and the life that they live, and they'll point and say, you mean you don't do this? You don't involve, you don't dress that? What is your problem, man? You are missing out. And the world tries to intimidate us. You try to speak up and the world laughs at you. Try to be a young person and live for God, and the pressure of the world will point and say, man, come on. And they laugh and they'll mock. They're extremely courageous. The person who enjoys their alcohol, enjoys their lifestyle, enjoys their drugs, enjoys the whatever their sin and vice is. You try to say, man, this is not right. Who do you think you are? They're extremely bold. And I just want to encourage Christians today, you have reason to be bold too. Never to be rude, but to speak the truth in love. But we have no reason to try to hide. We just sang it, we're on the winning side. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the world's courageous at last. The world is very cocky. Verse number 9, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. You know why he said it? Because he knew he wouldn't lose. He just knew there was no one over there that could beat him. He knew. You know, he just was confident that he was right. Look at verse number 44 when the showdown takes place between him and David. It says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Even when the battle was about to take place, he said, all right, kid, bring it on. I'm going to tear you apart, and I'm going to leave your rotting flesh in this field, and the birds are going to come, and they'll pick whatever meat I leave. I'm going to destroy you. He was extremely cocky. He laughed. And the world, unfortunately, thinks they're right. If you go to most of the world, Sadly, they're marching straight into hell thinking they're going to be okay. Confidence doesn't mean you're right. The world's extremely confident. But if it doesn't line up with this book, it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter if they line up with me. If it doesn't line up with God's word, you're wrong. You're wrong. You can argue, and you might even bring up points that make me scratch my head. But I'm just telling you, you may pull something over me. But if your life and your thinking and your philosophy doesn't line up with God's, you're wrong. I don't care how confident you are, you're wrong. He was extremely confident. He cursed over in verse number 43. He says, "And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." He was foul-mouthed. He cursed at David. Wicked things just spewed out of his mouth. I don't know if you catch it, but he is what the world is, man. They try to appeal to be the champ, to be the best, to have it all, to have the good life, the biggest this, the biggest that. They'll be courageous. They're extremely confident and cocky. Foul things just spew from their mouth. And Christian, don't laugh at their filth. Saw some young people the other day watching some video, and some wicked word was, someone said a wicked word, and they snickered and laughed. It's not funny. It's not funny. Amen, preacher. It's not funny. But that's what the world does. He had all kinds of companions. In verse number 4 in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 4, it says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines." He had a whole army sitting behind him. Even down in verse number 41, when he came out for the showdown, it says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him." He had lots of companionship. He had an entire army behind his back. When he went out to battle, there was a guy that came with him saying, "Yeah, bring it on. I'm with him." It's pretty good to be confident when you're running around with Goliath, right? I mean, he was pretty bold. He was carrying the shield out. Goliath came out and said, "All right, David, let's bring it on." And the guy carrying the shield said, "Uh-huh, bring it on. I'm with him." Right? He didn't care. I remember a few years ago, I've told you this before, I went fishing with a couple young men here at the church at the time, and they were big dudes. Both of them played football, man. I mean, they were just big dudes. They went in to buy bait. I'm sitting there outside the car waiting on them to get the bait in the bait shop. This carload, a bunch of these kids pulled up. I mean, they were cursing and cussing and talking about some very foul things. And I just looked at them and I said, "Guys, I don't really want to hear that." And as soon as I said it, they all turn around and laugh. They turn around and they start walking towards me. And then the voice inside of my head said, "You're an idiot. Why did you say something?" Right? There's like six of them, right? And they all start walking towards me and said, "Oh, yeah, you don't want to hear it?" And I was like, "No, not really." I'm like, "Oh, what are you going to do about it?" At that time, there's two guys. One of them was Miss Dickhouse's son, and then Jeff Kilgore. They walked out of the bait shop. We're fishing over at Lake Lorelei, by the way. They walked out and they said, "Hey, everything cool, Travis?" I looked at them, and as the boys looked at those two big guys, and they're like, "Yeah, everything's cool." And they all walked down in their car, right? And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." Right? My confidence came back, right? When they walked out. That's the way this dude was. He's carrying the sword, the shield. Yeah, bring it on, little kid. Little punk. Little ruddy cheek. Cute kid. This guy's going to tear you up, man. Get him. You ever seen like that little dog with the big dog? Yeah, right? Get him. In the world, it seems like, the young people hear me, it seems like There's all kinds of them living their way. And here's this small group here, gathered here this morning, that says that they're wrong. And sometimes we begin to question. There's so many voices, so many of them, and it can be intimidating. But the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find that way. But the right path that leads to life is straight and narrow, and few. The crowd and popularity does not mean it's right. But here's this whole camp saying, yeah, bring it on. Because all of Israel was hiding. They fled. They're in their tents. They're in the bush. They're under behind a rock. And all of it, Philistines are saying, yeah, where's your champion? Come on, bring it on. Dude with the shield saying, yeah, come on. And Israel's just sitting there saying, wow. And a lot of times Christians live their life that way. Who is this Philistine? Nobody want to talk about it. Who is that guy? No one says a word. If you did answer it, he's a champion. He's huge. He's confident. He says whatever he wants. He's got an army behind him. He's a champion, colossal. He's courageous. He's cocky. He's cursing. He's got companions. But let me add one more thing. He was conquered. He was conquered. I know all the world offers. I know how intimidating they can be. I know how big things they offer. I know how what all they say, and I know their confidence, and I know it seems like they got masses of armies that think they're right. But the world will pass away, and all that's in the world will pass away. God is right. David looked up at that giant. Don't you love the end of the story? And he took a little rock. He put it in a sling. And he shot that rock. It hit the giant right there in the head. And Goliath fell face first into the ground. David walked on top of Goliath. David didn't have a sword. All they had was his rock and four rocks, or his sling and four stones left. So he reached down and took Goliath's own sword and took the head off Goliath. And all of a sudden, all the armies of Israel that was hiding stuck their heads up. Wait a second. All of a sudden, the king that was in his tent sending somebody else got on his horse and said, let's fight this. All of a sudden, the armies of Israel said, we can do this. And all of a sudden, the Philistines said, run for your life. And I'm here to tell you that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to show who is the champion. You see, the champion fell face first. The champion, who is huge, was beneath David. That courageous man fell in fear. All his confidence was gone in a moment, and his cursing mouth was shut. And by the way, all his companions ran. The guy that was holding the shield, there's no more word of him. You know, when your Goliath got hit in the head with the rock, he should have stepped up, right? That was his job. That was his job. But he ran. Because the world will stick with you as long as things are going good. But ask the prodigal son. When things turn south, they run. You know what the sad part about the companion is, by the way? Here's the foul-mouthed giant of the world with a whole army, got his back, and a guy standing next to him. You know what, David? This is typical, too, sad. David is having his own brothers turn against him. His own peers didn't trust him. And his authority didn't think he could do it. Let's make sure we're not that way with each other, Christians. But I'm here today to tell you what a wonderful thing this is, that though he represented everything that is the world, he is also a picture that one day, the world will pass away. One day, you'll not be intimidated anymore. One day, when that son of David returns, we will rule and reign with him. I'm thankful today that I'm on the winning side. I'm thankful today, and listen, it isn't because of me and it isn't because of you. It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day that I got saved, I was placed on his side. Sometimes I've heard people say, Jesus is on my side. That's wrong. I'm on his side. He didn't join my team, I joined his. And there's victory there. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So why would you preach this message this morning? Because there's some young people that are intimidated. They just want the world. They look at everything the world offers and they say, I would like to have that. I don't know if I want this Christian life so much, because that looks so much greater. That is so much louder. That is so much bigger. That just seems so great to me. And there's many who are heading down the path of walking away from all that is God's. And I'm just here to tell you, eyeball to eyeball, because I love you, that's a foolish choice. There's some adults today, you're not all in with God. I'm not saying you're not saved, but you're afraid to stand out for him. And you doubt a lot of what he says. And you hide. You got to be willing to step out for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. He is worthy. If you're on the wrong side today, why don't you choose the Lord today? Because all that's out there will one day fade away. And all that will matter is which side you're on. Because the King is coming. He is coming. Let's pray, Father.